These type of things, when you don't do anything about it, they transfer right to your kids.
Right.
That's why you say, oh, my substance abuse. And then the kids, substance abuse and wife beating. You pick the same kind of girl that was just like your mom. And like, listen, adults are deteriorated children. If you're not aware of what you're being controlled by, that's going to translate right into everything that you do.
We were just talking about your trip to Egypt, but I want to make sure that we didn't waste that conversation because it's something I'm really interested about and I want the viewers to hear too. So you just got back from Egypt?
Yeah, I was there with a group of friends for like 10 days.
Why did you go to Egypt for?
I mean, there's so many different reasons why I went. I've always wanted to go to Egypt, the caliber of people that I was going with, so many mysteries that people think they know of, and I wanted to see what the hype was all about because I'm a lived experience type of person.
I think that's important to be that way.
For sure. I'm not just like, oh, this theory is this. Like, no, this was my experience.
Well, when you hear about things, you're really just hearing someone's perspective that got passed on to someone else who has their perspective, and then you hear about it. So you got to go experience Egypt.
Yeah.
What was it like?
I would say a memorable moment was when we were going to the king's chamber and we're going all the way to the top. And once we got in and there was the sarcophagus there and I laid in the sarcophagus, which is where the mummies are mummified, and I laid inside and then there were four men at each corner of the sarcophagus going, ooh. And they were like doing specific tones that made the harmonics of the walls with the hieroglyphics on it. And then we were with probably like 30 people who could all sing. So all of their harmonies going at the same time, it was as if I got the first physical embodiment of what walking through heaven feels like.
Wow.
And it allowed me to process and grieve like a few people's deaths that were there, that energy was still living in my body. I'm like, yo, if they went through something like this, well, then I'm so grateful that I got to experience that version of heaven on earth.
Dude, that's actually really interesting because the other night, I had a good friend who passed away, and I was, you know, when I go to bed, sometimes I'll just kind of lay there and try to get into a deep meditative state and see kind of where I could journey to, because there's a lot you can do from that state of nothingness.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, and I'm still kind of figuring out what my beliefs are about things, but I was like, you know, to my friend Dylan, I'm like, hey, you know, if you're there, like, can you show up in my dreams? And in my dream, he showed up and it was a real moment. And I remember there was a sound. It's kind of like what you're describing. And when I woke up in the middle of the night, I remembered the sound. And it was the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. But now I can't really remember what it sounded like. But it was really strange that you mentioned that, because I even said to my wife in the middle of the night, I said, I just heard this the most beautiful sound in my dream. And it was, you know, along with my friend who passed away.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is sound in itself is the original language. It's backed up by vibration and frequency. And, you know, in the Bible, it says the beginning there was the word, but the Greek meaning for word is sound and vibration.
Yeah.
And so that was probably your friend communicating with you in the original language.
Yeah.
Because by nature, any words that are coming out of our mouth go further and further away from the truth.
Right.
So I'm assuming that if you ask that question again, or you'll never forget it when you hear it again. So maybe he wanted to plant the seed.
Yeah.
And then you ask again, and maybe you're on the treadmill and he's like, ooh.
Because that sound invoked it invoked a feeling that was higher than a feeling you can get from someone telling you words.
Right. And so what you do is say, okay, have I ever felt this feeling before? Was this associated with something? How did it make me feel? Where in my body did I feel it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe you and your friend had this thing where he would always like hit you in the chest and maybe you felt that thing there. And so maybe that was him doing that same thing.
Yeah. It communicated like a complex emotional feeling just from one sound.
Yeah.
So when you were in the king's chamber, yep. Or what do you call the area you were laying in again?
I was laying in the sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
Yeah.
Were the people that started the sounds, were they experienced, in, or was it just people making whatever sound they wanted to?
I mean, well, these are people that we were with. Yeah. A couple of them are my friends. And the guy that we went with was like, make these specific sounds, and you'll feel the vibration of the harmonics floating around. And then all of a sudden, all of these, and there was more women than men, all the women started singing, and a couple of men, and it sounded like just angelic voices, while the other voices were going, ooh, and my body could feel everything, and I was just like, and I could just, my whole nervous system instantly went into calm and released any level of tension that I was holding.
Do you think the Egyptians knew about these kind of practices? And do you think that might be a reason why they built the pyramids, to be able to experience these kind of things?
I believe that, well, one, of course.
Yeah.
And because I know about these practices without somebody even teaching me. So it has to be in my DNA lineage, 400,000 people down.
Right.
And so just sound in itself can travel through water, can travel through fire, can travel through an entire stadium within a split second.
Right.
And so if you know how to truly maneuver sound, you could probably do a lot of things that humans can't physically do.
Yeah, and we think about ancient societies, and we think, oh, well, they didn't have familiar technology, right?
Familiar,
but our technology is based on electricity. Everything is based on it. But they may have had technology that was based on sound or frequency. And
which has electricity in it as well.
Oh, does it?
Well, think about it. When you go like this, and you're like, shh.
Yeah.
Where the, you walk across carpet, and you're like, shh. Or you go across somebody else, it's vibration. Like, even if somebody experienced like a deep trauma,
yeah,
underneath that trauma is a vibration. Mm. And to create electricity, it takes energy.
Right.
It takes energy to create vibration.
Right.
So they're part of the same thread.
So how can you release trauma with vibration?
Well, there's vibration underneath the trauma.
Okay.
It's not trauma first.
Gotcha.
It's something happens, you tell a story, and your whole life is built from the story that you tell, but there's an energy, stuck energy, underneath the trauma. So if you could find a way to get underneath the trauma, like if you were right now feeling something in your heart, like if you were just, you're feeling really bad and you have a trauma of somebody who died or somebody who didn't pay rent on time, and you just feel it in your heart. And you go and you sat around bees, and they're just, bzzz, they're literally buzzing in the frequency of C. If you sit around the frequency of C for long enough, you will notice your body then just start to go, because yeah, they're buzzing and breaking down any kind of stored trauma or any kind of stuck energy because of the vibration. You do a high pitch enough for this glass, it's going to break.
Right.
Yeah.
I have some things at my house. I'm curious what your opinion is. I have a biocharger.
Yep.
Are you familiar with that? Mm-hmm. It emits electricity at different frequencies. And their theory is that everything has a resonance.
Yep.
Whether it's a disease or a virus or a parasite. And if you can, you know, get the electricity at that same frequency, you can break or destroy it. And I'm still kind of like, I bought this thing a couple of years ago. I use it, but it's hard to comprehend it.
Yeah.
And I also have like another thing. I actually just got it. It's called an Eye Taurus. Have mm-hmm. you seen it? It's this guy, mm-hmm. Jason Stiles. He has a page called Eye Pyramids. And it's like this circle that's a crystal. And it's got these wires wrapped around it. And it plugs into an amplifier. And you play sound through it. And if you hold a magnet near it, you can feel the magnet pulsing.
Yeah.
And you can set it for sleep frequencies or curing. They have like probably 500 recipes to do things with. But I'm like, if this stuff really works and society as a whole is very unaware of it,
yeah,
it seems like a huge opportunity for you know, improving society. It seems like a huge opportunity for creating wealth and building businesses in this space.
Well, why would anybody who, is making trillions of dollars off of society not improving, allow that to happen.
Yeah, I know. That's but like as we're waking up to these things though, yeah, there will be people that try to do things.
Absolutely. And I believe it. The biocharger works. But here's the thing. It doesn't work if you don't work.
Mm.
You know, it was like when I was in health and wellness and somebody was like, oh, I tried these products and they don't work.
Yeah.
And, but no, the products work. People don't work.
Right.
Like, because if your belief system is off, if you're eating the same fatty foods that put the 50 pounds on you in the first place, it's not going to stay. It takes, you know, the most powerful magnet in the world is us.
Right.
That's why law of attraction can work both ways.
Right.
The law of deflection and the law of attraction.
Yeah.
For good and bad. And so with the biocharger, because you're an entire vibration, molecules all of your body. So if you are, you just think about a song, because I'm happy, clap along, and all of a sudden you just, my mood changed.
Yeah.
If I could break down the science of what's actually happening in your body, you'd be like, wait, what? But this just automatic, like you don't know how the watch is working. You just put it on, click it, and go like that.
Yeah.
There's so many mechanics
inside. And the watch is way simpler than
way simpler.
Way simpler, infinitely simpler.
So with the biocharger, what the biocharger can do is it can rev the engine up.
Mm-hmm.
There must be a driver.
Mm.
Because if the driver has no belief, if the driver is not putting the foot on the pedal, if the driver is like, well, man, complaining, this doesn't work. No, it's not going to work. Just like certain, you know, you go to school and people are like, oh, well, I went to Harvard and my life didn't turn out. No, but there's Harvard, there's the studies, and then there's the actual person who goes to school and applies the things that they learn.
Right.
It is a partnership. And this is where a lot of people fail. They're waiting for something to come save them.
Yep.
When the only person that can save you is yourself. But it can enhance what's already there. So if you believe, if you have no belief and you believe half, more than half than you did, and you sit in that chair and you set a powerful intention, your intention is going to, it's going to see itself out. And so with the whole pyramid thing, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know the framework of that because I do it manually. And when I'm working in healing and trauma release forums and things of that nature. So I understand the science of all of that because I actually do it and I've seen it firsthand.
So if your circumstances are challenging, let's say, you know, you've lived in your car, you've had a lot of challenging circumstances. And let's say somebody is having challenging circumstances, but they understand that the way they feel will make the change. How do you change the way you feel when your circumstances are consistently bringing you down?
So, well, you think about this. How come if you're really positive and everything is going so great, and then all of a sudden you hang out with five negative people who are gossiping, talking a lot of trash, and they're just lack of belief and lack of hope, and all of a sudden you have these new thoughts in your mind about lack of belief. You're like, what? I never think like this.
Right.
No, it's because the people that you surround yourself around. Now, if we're thinking in terms of music, to an untrained ear, somebody can be playing the piano, play one note off, and then an untrained ear is like, oh my God, that song was so bad, it was off.
Right.
But to a trained musician, there's no bad notes. It's just surrounded around the wrong combination of notes.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
If you give it the right combination of notes, beautiful music will play.
Right.
So to circle back to your question, a lot of times, I've never seen a fifth grader teach themselves how to get out of fifth grade. There was a teacher, there was community, and flowers that grow together grow much faster than they do by themselves. So if you can immerse yourself in a community of people who are going in or in the direction of where you want to be, just by nature of community will lift whatever thought, whatever, because you'll naturally start doing what they do.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think a big problem in society is that, like what you said, people are waiting for something to save them. Or they're waiting to, you know, get that money before they can feel abundant, or they're waiting to get that relationship before they can feel love. And they'll be waiting forever unless they get lucky for something.
Yeah. And then they'll end up losing it if they, because if they got lucky, then I can tell you for certain, they won't continue to embody the same frequency that can hold it.
Right. So the changing the way you feel changes your circumstances. And you're saying that if someone has challenging circumstances and they need to remove the negative and add the positive. So from a people perspective, remove the negative people.
I wouldn't even say remove the negative. Start hanging around positive people.
Yeah.
It's like if this glass right here, if it has oil, one drop of oil in it, how are you gonna remove it?
You have to get rid of it.
But you can't pour it out. How would you remove it?
If you can't pour it out, maybe put a little napkin in there and suck it out. I don't know.
Maybe.
How else? Drink it.
Or pour more water.
Oh yeah, until
you keep pouring because of the malleability of the oil.
Yeah.
You keep pouring, and that thing's gonna flush right out.
Yeah.
So if you keep on positive and positive,
keep
and positive
adding good.
And positive, positive, man, that thing will flush It'll negativity flush out. Right out. It'll still be there, but the tipping scale of how you live your life is gonna be geared towards more of the momentum towards the positive. And if who you are as a vibration is a positive resonance, your life has to match. It's one of the laws of nature.
Yeah.
One of the powerful laws of nature.
Yeah. I have that belief that I've learned over the last few years. And I think it's really important to create space for yourself to realize that on a daily basis. Because like somebody could be listening to this right now and say, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But they're going to wake up tomorrow and have the same pattern, same thoughts. And maybe they'll remember the concept, but they won't remember the feeling.
Yeah.
I like to get up in the morning and go for a walk. I have this walking formula that I do actually in the book that I gave you. That's what my new book is about. But what are some practices or habits that you do to re-realize these lessons?
Okay. So what I'm going to share is not typical. So somebody's going to be like, well, Garen said, wake up at 4:20 in the morning and he goes and does all this stuff. And oh, it's just too difficult. Listen, you've got to find a practice that works for your operating system.
Right.
What works for me now at age 44, as a devoted husband and a father of two girls, is very different when I was single and I could just do whatever I wanted.
Right.
So now in my life at 44, nobody can get me before I get me. I roll over. I used to roll over and then me and my wife were snuggling and there's this, but I didn't have enough time for myself. Then the baby wakes up.
Yeah.
Then there's,
and you're right back.
It's everything. So what I do is I go to sleep a little bit earlier. So around 9 o'clock and I wake up at 4:20 in the morning, not so I can be cool and be like, yo, sleep is for suckers.
Give yourself the space.
Yeah. It's because I need minimum 2 hours every single morning to rev up my own engine.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning, 4:20, I go and run. But when I go and run, you know, I don't run for abs. I don't run for workout. I run for the discipline of waking up because the discipline can translate to every area of your life.
Yeah.
And I breathe only through my nostril. Mm. It's difficult for people to run down the block to do that. I've trained myself to do 5 to 10 miles only breathing through my nostrils every 3 steps.
Yeah.
While going through hills.
It's a meditation in and of itself.
So it's my form of moving meditation, but it also, you've heard of breath work, right?
Of course.
This is called breath training.
Okay.
So what I do is put myself through intentional extremes, and I say, how long can I maintain the most subtle, calm breath every 3 beats?
That's the whole focus of the
run. That's the whole focus. And I'll do that. And then I'll come home. And now when the ruckus or the perceived ruckus on the outside starts, that used to make me hot and crazy, or arguments with my wife used to go crazy. Now my new automatic is 2, 3.
Mm, yeah.
Because I've trained it into my nervous system.
Right.
That is one of the main ones that I focus on, but it's like healthy mind, healthy body, healthy spirit. I'm praying every morning, meditating every morning, stretching every morning, and getting some form of movement so that my whole body can feel loved on. Then I get to work. I give my family, I give everybody else from my overflow and not my exhaust.
Yes. And I'm sure sometimes when you're doing the run, you start to feel emotions and get downloads and things that you didn't have the, you didn't necessarily have the intention to try to figure something out. But when you let go and you focus on discipline and staying, and because you're like, actually, somebody told me this the other day, and it was really cool because it's something I knew, but I never really articulated, is that, you know, a lot of people, they have thoughts all the time. Their thoughts are always flowing. And question is, can you turn those thoughts off? And someone might say, no, I can't turn the thoughts off. So then you're not actually thinking. Your thinking is happening to you. And it's not necessarily the thoughts you want to have. It's the thoughts that are happening to you. So when you can let go of those thoughts and reconnect with what you really are. I believe thoughts don't come from within. I think they come from without. I think they come from the outside. And I think that the way you feel creates a unique pattern of vibration, and you can attract thoughts of that same frequency. So your habit of running, which is a habit I do as well every morning, I don't do 5 to 10 miles. I'll do like 2 to 4 miles.
Yep.
And I also focus on the breathing. I'll do every 4 steps, I'll breathe in, and every 4 steps, I breathe out. And about a mile and a half in, my mind is so clear that energy starts building. Yeah. That never would have made it into my being if I didn't intentionally go and do that run.
Yeah.
I love that habit. I think running is an incredible habit.
I love it. And because I'm outside in nature and I'm breathing and I'm moving my body and I'm doing something that I love, like all of the, it's like the oil in a car. It's like topping over, topping over, topping over. And then I just become this like God-esque version of myself, an open channel. Man, the downloads that I get, that's where all my projects come from. Books, ideas come from. Just like me working with, you know, I coach some very high level founders and CEOs, some really powerful people in the world. And like, what prepares me for specific sessions come directly from who I am as a channel on my run. And I just love it. It's like literally a business meeting with God and just like download, 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 download. I'm running the other day and I'm like, man, I wish I had a, I don't want to say it on here. I'll tell it to you after, but I wish I had a device that can record things while I'm running in an easier way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Patton, bam, bam, dude, bam, bam.
I resonate very much with what you're saying because
we'll talk after this.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like yesterday morning, for example, I got 4 hours of sleep. I couldn't fall asleep for whatever reason. It's rare, but I woke up the next morning. I felt horrible. I had a sense of despair. I was like, how am I going to do today? I got so many things to do today. I just want to go back to sleep. How am I going to do it? And I knew that I can't think my way out of this. I need to move my body physically through space out the door as fast as I could. And I did that. And I went from about a 3 to a 10 in energy just by getting out there. Mm. What do you do? Because that's my belief. It's just get my body there, right? Do you have a different type of thought pattern or belief that, you know, if you wake up not feeling so good, that gets you to that first step?
Yeah, it's feelings are so they're so much more complex than we give credit. Try to understand your feelings is like trying to understand every single wave in the ocean.
Right.
The ocean of emotion. So if a feeling is, oh, I don't feel like running today, I'm like, okay, I renegotiate with my mind. Because what I say to myself is when I don't do something that I know contributes to something that's really valuable to me, then what's really valuable to me, it's like me putting that or my family on the table and saying, hey, you're not worth it. But I'm not going to tell myself that. So I create a game that I actually like playing. Right. So I had to set up my life in a way where everywhere I look is things that I love, the people that I hang out with people that I actually, I can see building a life with. And nobody just comes as just like an empty friend. Like we both bring in something to the table. But it's a game that I actually like playing, but I also set up my, you know, you have like booby traps. I have like healthy booby traps.
Yeah.
It'll set me up and it's like, oh, and then I'll look like, so in my office, there's a check written out for $150 million. It's not in the bank physically yet, but it's in my mind for by 2025, and it's sitting there. So anytime I look to the left and I'm just kind of dozing off, or I could be scrolling, I'll look to the left and I'll be like, thanks for checking me. And I get right back to it.
Yeah, I love that. So I want to kind of go into the topic of manifestation.
Yep.
Because that word means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Many people don't even believe. They think it's, oh, it's a woo-woo concept. And I believe that anyone who's ever achieved anything extraordinary in this world understood manifestation, and they understood that you have to feel a certain way. At the end of, I do a walking formula called the perfect walk, and it's a 5-part walk. It's first part, you're opening your heart. So you're just bringing your awareness here. You're thinking of something you love, and you know, you start to cultivate the feeling of love. Second part, you feel your power. So the music changes, you walk like you're strong, like anything can't get in your way. Third part is a moment of letting go. Fourth part is feeling connected with a higher power. I like to kind of imagine my awareness just like trillions of miles out, and I'm just breathing in everything and out everything until I feel connected. And then the last part is a celebration. And I'll start to cultivate the feeling of celebration, saying, I got out today and I did this for myself. So like, good for me. And then as I start to feel the celebration, then I start to think about something that I want to happen. And I bring that feeling of celebration to that thing, as and I walk as if it already happened. And it's basically an exercise of cultivating and amplifying specific emotions to activate the day. And that's what I believe manifestation is. It's walking as if, or being as if, something already happened, and really feeling like, I'll be walking and I'm imagining, similarly, flicking open my bank account and a wire just hit. And I'm just like in my mind, and sometimes if I'm in public, I feel weird doing it. But if I'm like on my treadmill, I'll just be like, let's go. You know, I'll just get like real pumped up about it. And I see life accelerating. What does manifestation mean to you? Like, what is your holistic view on manifestation?
So I love giving, I love telling stories to drive home a point. I remember when I was a little kid, and I used to just, because I wanted to be seen as cool, and I wasn't cool, and I would just lie to the cool kids. I'd be like, yeah, I'm a model for Tommy Hilfiger. Oh yeah, I'm moving to Los Angeles, and oh yeah, you know, and I would just, and they'd be like, yo, why are you lying? Mm-hmm. And I would say all these lies to the point where I believed it. And I was 7.
Wow.
Everything that I lied about is the life that I'm living now.
Wow.
But it wasn't until I connected the dots looking backwards. So maybe it wasn't on the earth's surface, it was a lie. But when I said something over and over and over and I believed it,
yeah,
my life is a direct reflection of what I believed into my body. And I feel like we're the most powerful magnets in the world. And another example, I was 13 years old. I'll never forget. And I was completely healthy. And I was like, Mom, I'm sick. She was like, okay, baby, you can stay home. And I was trying to play hooky.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, I'm sick. And every time she would knock on the door, you okay, baby? I was like, I'm sick. By the end of the day, 103 fever and I'm throwing up.
Wow.
That's one day of saying something over and over and thinking it over and over and over until it actually came a reality. I didn't know what any of this manifestation was back when I was a little kid. But I have a written record of every time I believed something into reality, it would happen. And so now, like, once I started healing and transforming and learning about manifestation and the power of your thoughts and how you can create in your author your reality, and it was giving me language to be able to articulate something that I had been doing since I was a little kid. Well, one, I truly do believe in the powerful manifestation. And what I feel manifestation is thinking something into reality, but thinking something into a being, and the universe is plastic and malleable like your brain, and has the ability to wrap itself around your being and show you a mirror reflection and like on Earth's side of who you're being.
I love that. I have so many follow-up questions. I'm going to start with two. Number one is, you know, does it scare you that society is being fed so many things that change their beliefs to believe that a lot of negative things are going on? Like, do you believe that collective consciousness can manifest something for the earth that could be dangerous? based on the media that we're being
It doesn't scare me because whatever size danger there is, it can't be that size danger without the equal of its equivalent. Mm. It can't be that size danger without the equal of its light.
Mm.
If I go into the desert right now and drop this bottle down, it'll instantly cast a shadow.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a big dream or a big vision or a big prayer, it instantly unlocks the equal of its resistance.
Right.
And I know this game. It's called the game of discipline. And so when you have a great understanding of the actual game, that the weapons of mass distraction doesn't scare me because it causes me to rise even higher in my channel and higher in my light. And I know that other people are rising even more. There's like this big dark thing is coming. I'm like, well, there's
an equal amount of
this big light thing is here.
Right.
So it makes sense.
That's a really interesting point. I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
I've always been a little bit fearful that there's so many people in society that,
yeah,
that don't understand these concepts, or maybe they understand them, but they don't practice them. And they're kind of, you know, and as a society, the most successful companies in the world are the ones that take your attention.
Yeah.
They take your attention with things that are addictive. And typically the things that are addictive are things that cause fear or cause emotions that are easy to activate. So I was always, you know, worried that we're you know, manifesting this bad thing in society.
Yeah. You know, and it's honestly, it's a part of life. The forest fires are a part of life and then they grow back greener. And, you know, the only laws that I really, like, I abide by a few laws, but, like, the ones that I will follow and partner with till the day that, you know, I'm physically no longer here is nature's laws.
Mm.
And nature is always looking for a way to heal. Nature is always looking for a way to restore itself. Nature has longevity. It's always fruitful. And, you know, if something isn't, if there's a bad apple, it's going to fall, then something else is going to grow back. So coming from that place, I'm not playing the same game. So if I'm not playing the same game, I can't be struck down by the same boss at the end of the round.
Right.
You know, I'm playing a completely different game. So it's noise to me. And I don't, how old are you?
33.
Okay. So you're young enough to know that when the TV, when you were really small, when it was on a station that had no, you turn to a channel that had no station, it'll go, shh.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep watching the station.
Right.
Where we get off as a society is we keep watching the static and listening to the static and listening to the intentional music that's played on the radio that is hypnotizing you to be dumb. It's literally lowering your vibration. And we are watching the gossip shows. We're feeding into the dragon. And hey, it's a part of life and not everybody's doing it. I turned off the TV 5 years ago. And then I became smart. I turned off the smart TV and became smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know? I don't know. I'm not going to cite this as a fact, but I believe it to be true because I heard it from someone credible that the same people who got behind like the gangster rap and the music that incites violence and guns and shooting each other and a lot of that bad stuff, those same people also invested in private prisons. So they put the music out to society and then bought the prisons.
And it's probably the same people who It's probably the same people. There's these aliens in Miami, the thing that just happened at the exact same time that the Epstein's list came out, literally at the same time.
Yeah.
And then the Cat Williams special, him airing out a bunch of other celebrities' lies. They all came out at the same exact time. All of this, to me, all of it is like a big Scooby-Doo chase.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like you, the guy wearing the evil costume was like Shaggy or Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So to me, all of it is connected. It's the weapons of mass distraction. And it's like, oh, over here, oh, over here, the trans, the non-trans, the black, the white, the vax, the no vax.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't nobody looking at who's actually creating the game. So I sit back and they're like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? How are you so calm? Because I was like, I'm not playing this game.
Yeah.
I don't want to play this game. I don't even like playing this game. Here's the game that I'm on. My family got to eat.
Bro.
I have dreams and desires and passions to fulfill. And I know that if I was playing basketball and I'm trying to pass the ball in, the guy's going like this the whole time. It's all part of the whole entire human matrix where distraction is the resistance that matches the desire for most of society to feel seen, heard, and acknowledged.
Mm.
And so many people are living with deep suffering because most people don't feel seen, heard, and acknowledged.
And who do you think these people are that are manipulating society and distracting society and planting these rules and, you know, the scores that they give to major corporations where they have to do, you know, inclusive and green and things that necessarily aren't good for the economy or the company, but anyway, there's all these things that are being planted in society to keep people distracted, feel seen and heard. Who are these puppet masters? Now,
that I don't know.
And what's their motive?
And I'm not about to go down the rabbit hole to lose more of perceived time away from what God, I feel God has called me to do, which is to, you know, create a safe space for children to feel safe enough to be themselves, and for the adult inside, for the kid inside of the adult to actually be happy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure out who the person of the person of the person is. I will tell you, I feel like the motive is created so that society as a whole doesn't think for themselves.
Yeah.
Just go to the grocery store. We're taught the primary colors are the first colors that we're taught as little kids.
Yeah.
But what has primary colors? Bags of candy, gossip magazines. You just go to the grocery store, and right as you're about to go out, there's gossip over here, and there's candy here, and they all look the same. And the alcohol companies and the wine companies got smart, and so they spent billions of dollars changing. They're literally, if you go to the grocery store, most of the wines now look just like fruit punches.
Yeah.
And who do you think it's attacking? It's the little kid inside of the adult.
Right.
They spend billions of dollars to get your attention.
Yeah.
Now, whatever part of the attention that you can get, it's like, how can I get the depths of the attention, reach the kid?
Yeah.
And so I feel that the kids are actually targeted. It's not the adults. It's the kids inside of the adults and the actual kids. Because if you can get them young enough, they can be programmed for life. Adults are deteriorated children. So if you can keep on jabbing at that little kid inside and tapping on your traumas and tapping on your pain points, if you're domesticated in fear, you can be controlled by fear.
I have a lot of different directions I want to go in, but as we're talking about kids, what do you think that the schooling system could teach kids that could change the trajectory of people's lives?
You mean the public schooling system that hasn't changed in like 300 years?
Yeah, I often think, you know, if the public schooling system was required to teach certain things, because like, I'll give you a quick example, and I'll let you get back to that. Some kid comes and shoots up a school, you know, God forbid. They look at the gun laws. They don't look at the fact that that kid was probably bullied, and then when he went home, he didn't know how to cope with his trauma, so he ate a bunch of food, and then he got fat, and then he got bullied more, and then instead of dealing with it, he would play video games or watch videos, and then continue to eat to feel, you know, to numb the pain, and then he would go get bullied more, and it's a compounding cycle, and then eventually the pain is so much, the mind goes crazy, and he does this crazy thing, and then the system says, we need to ban guns. And it's like, well, that's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that this person didn't know how to deal with stress. They didn't know how to deal with trauma. They didn't know how to let go. They didn't know how to build confidence. They didn't have discipline, yeah. right? And if certain things like that were taught to kids, I feel like, and the gun thing is just one example. Yeah. There's many, many, many things that could change. I'm just curious if you were able to say, schooling system, we must teach kids these things starting in kindergarten and up through 12th grade. What would those things be?
Well, before we even get to the things that are taught, it's who's teaching the kids. Mm. I do not think that teachers get paid enough money.
Mm. I actually say the same thing all the time.
Yesterday, in one day, matter of fact, in 30 minutes, I made more than 10 teachers' yearly salaries in 30 minutes off of 2 one-on-one programs.
Yeah.
And I think because when the child is growing up, the two most important people, or the most important people, is the domestication of home, mm-hmm. which is the parents yep. or the caretakers,
yep.
and the domestication of school.
Mm-hmm.
But any kind of person that would settle for $30,000 for an entire year, you're going to get a different caliber of a person.
Yeah.
Now, those teachers are literally doing the best they can inside of a system that says they can't do more. And when they do, they get fired.
Right.
But I can guarantee you, if the pay for teachers was like six figures, I mean, elementary school teachers.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about high school. I'm talking about elementary, where they're teaching the ABCs. And it was like $125,000 or $80,000 or something like that. You would get a different grade of a person that came in that might just have, and what the requirement for the teacher, they must take courses on interpersonal skills, yep. emotional intelligence, because people don't do what you say. They do what they see, and they respond yep. to the energy. And as an educator who works with kids and who works with parents and sees what directly happens when the mom shifts and the mom's nervous system is connected to the child's nervous system, when the mom shifts, that child instantly shifts. So I've seen it happen with from lived experience. So if the teachers were required to have interpersonal skills and like really high level emotional intelligence, and an aspect of psychology and a high level of communication skills, 100% the educational system would completely shift, because there's more than just A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1+1, because there's the teacher that's coming that's like, damn, I got to put up with all these badass kids for $30,000 a year.
What energy does that cultivate? It cultivates an energy of, why am I doing this? I have no incentive to try to make change, because I can't make the change anyway.
Exactly. So what we're experiencing, if you think in terms of ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and then that turns into words, sentences, paragraphs, essays, books, libraries. Now think about the domestication of a child not having any sort of emotional intelligence and having anger. I'm not saying all teachers. I've had my second grade teacher, excellent, Miss Cushenberry. But most teachers,
she's got a great name, by the way,
are angry, but they love to educate.
Yeah.
But if you take education with the seed of anger, you're actually teaching how to work under angry circumstances without ever even saying it, because that's the frequency that's vibrating to the seed of the kids.
Yes,
and then they go on out in life, and we see the people that end up in prison, that end up doing all this crazy stuff. Where'd it come from? It's their fault. It's this. And they blame all the stuff on the surface, and they're not putting money into the domestication of what goes on in the beginning stages of a child.
Amen to that, brother. I think about this often, because I think about society, and I think, you know, we're focused on all these things, but we're not really focused on the schooling system. I mean, there's conversations like, hey, they shouldn't have this book in school that shows, you know, these inappropriate things in California or whatever. But when was the last time, I mean, at least from my experience, I don't see politicians focused on the schooling system, focused on improving the schooling system. I mean, first of all, what you said.
They'll get them more books.
What's that?
They'll get them more books.
Yeah. The teachers don't have incentive because they can't make change within the system.
Right.
It's hard to get a high caliber person because it's not their best opportunity at making $30,000, even $75,000 a year. You know, for someone to put their heart and soul into something, it needs to be their best path.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a charity. So it's really hard to get people to be incentivized who are at a energetic caliber of what you want those children to receive. I agree. If you were a teacher for 20 years, you should be making $500,000 a year.
Absolutely.
And there's tons of taxpayer money that we can use.
Yeah.
But instead, it's being used in all these other areas that aren't. If you fix children, you teach children early on, you change their energy, you change the whole world.
100%.
That's the root of things. But I don't know why it's not focused on.
Yeah, I do. It's probably the reason why there's only 2% wealthy in the world. And it's probably a reason why most people in the world, let's just leave it in the U.S., will die with less than $70 in the bank. And that is a statistical fact.
Is that true?
That is a statistical fact.
Most people die with less than $70 in the bank?
Less than $70 in the bank. Because a lot of people don't have a bank account.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff. And then when you die, somebody's got to owe money on if you get cremated,
yeah.
If you get a casket.
Right.
Like it's a continuum.
Do you believe that everyone could be wealthy? Or do you believe that certain people need to lose for others to win?
I believe in the law of polarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think in terms of lose to win, because winning for you might be different than winning for me, because winning for you might be like, yo, I just had my first $5 million month.
Yep.
For me, who's not money driven, I love making money, but I'm not money driven.
Mm-hmm.
I am so impact driven.
Mm.
If somebody was like, yo, like when they called me and said 500 kids from one of the worst schools in California, the teachers just ordered your book, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life. And they want to fly you down there to come and speak to the students.
That's a success. And
I was like, yo, I just won.
Yeah.
I just won. That's my version of a Grammy. So it all depends on what you feel winning is. But what I do believe is there is no light without dark.
Yeah.
There's no love without hate.
It's balance.
That's the way that
it always equals
plus and minus. That's how it works.
Yeah. When did you start to kind of, I don't know, call it break free of the matrix? Or when did you start to understand the way the world works and become more impact driven?
Well, when I was little, you know, and they say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I always wanted to be a superhero.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to have abs like an action figure. I wanted to save and change lives all over the world. And, you know, I want to be stronger than the average man. Get to middle school, high school. What do you want to be? And I was like, I want to be a superhero. They're like, in college? I'm like, yo, I want to be a superhero. And it's so interesting how my life was so difficult. And as I overcame all of these hardships, you play video games and you beat the boss at the end of the round, you like get a bigger sword or you get stronger.
Yeah.
Every time I overcame the hardships, it was like I was getting this, these extra codes. There's like these extra whispers in my ear the capacity to hold it and the ability to sustain whatever was being shared with me or through me.
Yep.
And I overcame so much. There's certain people that, and this is not a comparison thing, wouldn't have lasted 1 week in my shoes. And I know this.
Yeah.
Because they're complaining about traffic and they're losing their shit.
Right.
And because I have become calloused to difficult things, I just learned how to lean into it because I know there's going to be a different version of me. I started to discover the pattern that there was always gold at the end of that rainbow. And I just start picking up these things. And over time, like a penny that doubles every day is like $10.4 million for 30 days or something like that. Over time, I've built up a body of work that just allows me to take all of these different tools and lessons and create frameworks for life. And you know, and I loved video games. So I know this a game when I'm being played, and I know that I like creating as well. So I decided to create a game that I actually like playing while playing a game within a game within a game. And I won't tell you guys on here what the game within a game within a game is, but those who know who knows. And if you try to leave the game, those are the people who get killed. But if you play a game within a game within a game, you leave in your own way, and you're playing it, you're under a completely different stimulus.
Yeah.
And so I'm not under the stimulus of the calendar, because that is man-made time. And I don't believe there are calendars in heaven.
Yep.
I don't even breathe the same pattern of breath. It's every three counts, even when I'm not running.
Mm.
So the instincts of my life had slowed down so much. When most people it's like this, it doesn't happen that way, because I've trained those instincts in my body to be able to see things long before they happen because of the instincts. And so it's just been a continuum. Since I was a little kid, I didn't know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But as I learned these lessons along the way, studying under great people and traveling the world and just learning different philosophies and the way science does certain things, the way spirituality does certain things, and the way that, you know, certain people that I'm inspired by do certain things. And I just kind of put these pieces together in a way that works for my design. And that's it. It's, I wasn't like, hey, I'm going to leave this thing. I was just like, no, I'm going to create a game that I actually like playing.
I understand very clearly. And I think that's very interesting. It makes me want to bring up the point that there are so many people out there that want a different life. They want to be a different version of themselves. And part of it's true. And part of it is that they're seeing other people's lives on social media and thinking, oh, if I had that, I could be this person. But nobody wants to go through the challenges. They don't want to go through the hard times. I've started to look at challenges and hard times as little blessings, because it's, you know, I had a, I do want to hear more about some of the things you've went through. I think it's important to dive into. When I was 23, I used to throw concerts for a living, and I made my first $1 million when I was 21, ended up losing it all when I was 22. I had this, this kid who was, he inherited $50 million and he wanted to be a famous DJ. So I said, all right, if you invest in the show, you'll get your pro rata share of profits and you can play on the main stage. And it was a good deal, but I didn't know how to run the business. I lost the money. I couldn't pay him back. I ended up getting sued for $250,000 when I was 23. And still today, every time I open my mailbox, I still get a little bit of the trauma of like receiving that lawsuit in the mail. Mm. It lasted 2 years. When I was in that, I didn't see a way out. I thought I was going to have to file bankruptcy, but I couldn't file bankruptcy because he was suing me for fraud. So I couldn't, I had no way out. And it was pain that for me at the time was unimaginable. And I had no way of understanding that that was a blessing, because I learned those lessons very early on in life. I calloused myself. Yeah, I was able to recognize patterns now, but in the moment, I couldn't understand that. Now, when something painful comes up, I understand conceptually that it's a blessing, that I'll grow from it. But when I'm in the moment, there's still part of me that is, it recognizes it, but still feels that same way.
Yeah.
For you, over time, you know, you say you recognize the patterns. Does it still feel challenging and painful, or are you able to just totally, you know, transcend through that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, one, I don't believe anybody should ever suppress emotions ever, because that's what turns into sloppy drunks, alcohol, porn, drugs, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, because it needs an outlet. So I allow myself to feel what naturally wants to come up, but I've designed my life in a way where I have healthy outlets. Mm-hmm. Music is an outlet for mm-hmm. me. Laying on the ground in the grass, my shirt off, is an outlet for me. Running is an outlet for me. You know, cycling is an outlet. So I have healthy outlets for any of those things, but it doesn't mean that I don't feel it. Mm. I allow myself to feel it so it doesn't come out on my wife or my daughter and things like that, because I value myself enough to know, enough to know that someone else doesn't need to be the benefactor of my own responsibility. So yes, it does come up. I'm not free from it. And when it comes up, it's just less of a bite.
Mm.
You know, it used to be there, and it takes me out for a whole month, and I have pimples all over my face. I can't leave in bed because I didn't see a way out.
Right.
But after a while, I mean, this whole life, if you look at the leaves outside damn near every single tree, you see the symmetry in the leaves, you see the symmetry in the ocean, you see the symmetry in the birds on the feather. So nature is designed for specific symmetry and specific patterns.
Right.
So if you can start recognizing the patterns of human nature and you start finding the symmetrical edges, you start meeting your own edge. Now, I don't wait for it to come to me. I actually chase the edge.
Mm.
This is me running 64 miles over a mountain because I'm like, okay, before it blindsides me, let me go chase let me go chase that thing head on. What I learned was the more I had voluntary discomfort things in my life, the less surprises I got.
Mm.
And when I didn't, it's almost like this universal intelligence trying to say, here's the thing that's a test for your next level. And when I was in school, remember when I used to give pop quizzes?
Yeah.
The pop quizzes would come out of nowhere. They would come out of nowhere to test you to see if you comprehended what you've been learning so far.
Right.
I feel like life is the same way, but you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Ah. So you said voluntary discomfort.
Voluntary discomfort.
There's a lot of talk in the health and biohacking community. It's like Dave Asprey. I like the guy a lot. I respect him a ton. But one thing he said that I don't agree with is like he talks about how you can do this one exercise that instead of, you know, running for, you know, 6 hours a week, you can do this for 15 minutes and you get all the benefit. And I'm like, well, the discomfort you get from running gives you a tremendous amount of benefit. Maybe not in your, you know, in the fat you're burning compared to this other thing, but that's just one tiny benefit of the whole benefit you get from discomfort. So what types of things, like you said, you do running. Are there any other kind of practices that you know are good for you, but they cause discomfort and you choose to do them?
Cold plunging at 33 degrees.
Yeah.
Doing my sauna, my cold plunging, running hills, cycling hills. I would say those things of that nature there, any type of, I'm like, man, how am I, like me, I've never been the kind of person that if you give me 50 different choices, my brain will just shut down. I'm not a left brain person. I'm a very flowy, spiritual manifestation type of person. So what is it called? Google Docs and spreadsheet and all kind of stuff just literally turns my channel off.
Same.
So when it comes to building a desk, that was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to build this desk so that I can have a stronger base so that while my wife is pregnant, anywhere where she wants to go emotionally, I will have more for myself. Mm. And this is where a lot of men and partners get it wrong, is they're used to who they were when they were single. And it's like, time for me, time for her, time for me, time for her,
yeah,
time for me.
Yeah, I went through that.
You know what I'm saying? But what I got good at was, well, there's going to be baby, there's going to be mama, she's going to go through all of her emotions. So I'm going to need to have emotions for her, emotions for the house, emotions for my job, emotions for myself. So I'm going to have to do double the capacity of work on myself. And so I said, me building this desk, even though it came from IKEA, but it has 1,000 nails and stuff, I leaned all the way in. You know, my wife goes, she walks by and she goes like, I think it's so sexy that you're doing it. I was like, give me another desk to build. So that's, I find uncomfortable task to put myself in, and then I attach it with something that allows me to have a stronger foundation and expand my capacity so that I can always maintain a regulated nervous system when bigger things come upon me.
So I think you and I are similar in the way we operate. And one thing that sometimes I'll struggle with is, on Sunday, I'll plan my week. I'll say, I'm getting up this time Monday, this time Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. These are the things I'm doing, because I don't want to come into a day and then have, you know, several options of things I can do and then, you know, waste my decision making on picking one of them. I want to just have it laid out. But there, every single time I look at the cold plunge, my mind goes into panic mode and gets really crafty in like convincing me to do something else. And I'd say 95% of the time, I move my body physically into it. But it's really challenging every time. And it doesn't seem like it's getting any easier. And I've been doing this for about 2 years now. Do you see, and how old are you?
44.
Okay, so you got 11 years on me. I've heard people that are closer to your age talk about how this stuff, as you get older, do you see these voluntary discomforts getting easier? Or do you build up a resistance to the discomfort? Or is it hard every time? What is your experience with these kind of things?
Well, I have a concept that's called make your old hard your new easy. Mm. So when it becomes easy, I find another hard.
What if it never becomes easy? Like the cold plunge for me is hard every single time.
The cold plunge is easy for me though. Like it for the first 20 times. And then what I did was I started getting there for, instead of 3 minutes, I started getting there in 6 minutes.
Wow.
And then at 6 minutes, something shifted in 1 week. And then I was like, so I went through it. And then on the fourth minute, I was like, boom. Next thing you know, rain wasn't cold anymore.
Right.
But so many other things wasn't cold anymore. So now at 6 minutes, it's just, I just get in and it's like, boom. And so now I just change the temperature.
Right.
I go down lower. So I'm just always finding a way to find like little edges and things. And then at that, I was like, yo, this is difficult. And then once after a while, my body adjusts, because the body has the ability to adjust over a period of time.
Right.
If you take a frog and you start it in cold water, and then I seen this science project done and it was like crazy. I was like, why are they showing this? And then all of a sudden you gradually turn up the temperature up, 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 and it's going to adjust over time. You can get it blazing hot, but it's already adjusted. It'll be perfectly fine.
Frog's okay.
If you have that water boiling and you put that frog in there,
dead.
That thing will explode.
Dead.
Right
away.
Do
you work with other people, coaches, or like, is there any other people you kind of consult with on keeping yourself accountable and, you know, plan, because it's really easy to say what you're saying.
Yeah.
But for me to say, yeah, next week I'm going to make the cold plunge 5 degrees colder, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, you're probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
Do you work with other people? Do you have mentors or coaches?
Listen. If LeBron James still has a coach, Michael Jordan had a coach the whole time, Tony Robbins still has a coach, Stevie Wonder still has a coach, I mean, Tom Brady still has a coach. I think it's important to have somebody in your life that can pull out of you what you can't pull out of yourself, because you can't see the picture while you're in the frame. And 100%. if you want to compress time frames, you find a community where you're not the smartest person. Everybody's like, oh my God, Garen. No. I need a new community. Mm. So I'm, you know, there's a guy named Joe Polish. They call him the the most connected man in America, and he has it's like a mastermind. It's called Genius Network, and there's so many extraordinary humans in there. And it's based out of Phoenix, and I'm a part of Genius Network, and I just learn. I'm just like, wow, like you did a $150 million launch in one day?
Yeah.
Wow, how'd you do that? So my mind is constantly blown, and I'm in the same room. So I'm adding value, they're adding value, and everybody is supporting everybody's everything. I keep myself in those rooms.
Yes.
I keep myself. I have a spiritual advisor named Monica Zanz, where I've been seeing her every other week since 2013. Mm. And everywhere in my life where I have a coach has 10x'd.
Yeah.
Everywhere where I don't is the slower process.
Yeah. I feel like I need to find a coach for increasing the discomfort levels in my disciplines.
Yeah.
That's the area that it's really hard to do on your own.
Yeah.
Do you have someone that helps you with things like that, like at a structural level?
For me, because I know the value of it, I actually don't even need a coach for that, because I dive into it head first, because that's the game I like playing, because I see what version of me happens.
No, I get that, but there's the you that says that, and there's the you that's, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning and you're a different version of yourself.
Yeah.
Do you maintain that, or do you have to convince yourself again? It's like,
oh, no.
I personally maintain it.
But I don't expect everybody else to do that. There's some people, you might know so much about business. I'm like, yo, how do you do that? You're like, man, I've just got myself to do that.
Yeah.
I need a coach for that.
Yeah.
And so there are some people that don't necessarily need somebody to do that. Now, I have people that I'm inspired by. Like, I'm in a men's group, and we talk to each other about, you know, just personal problems and sharing our wins and things of that nature. I think that having a community of people plus having a coach, that I put more money into mentorship than at least more than $350,000 a year on becoming a better version of myself.
Yep.
Easily, but it comes back so effortlessly 100%. Because of who I come. And so now it's so interesting. Now what's happening with me, there's a lot of high net worth business people who are approaching me for one-on-one coaching. Mm. Working with me one-on-one is like $150,000 for 12 sessions. And these people, the high net worth business people, are starting to approach me because they're realizing that there's something about the spirit that's not working. Mm-hmm. And they want to be led by a heart-led leader.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes me so different, because most heart-led leaders are broke. They don't know how to make money.
Right.
I know how to make money, like, right, easily. So what I've learned, that a lot of spiritual people are broke and a lot of business people are spiritually broken.
Right.
And I'm like a hybrid entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so my last two one-on-ones, I mean, they're big companies. And they're just like, yo, I've been watching what you were saying. I see you as a devoted husband. I see you. You understand business, your spirituality. You're like, you're in integrity. And there's so many people who are out of integrity, even while being married and things like that. They're like, I want to be led in such a way by a kind of person that lives their life like you. I want that.
Yeah.
I just signed someone on yesterday, a farmer from Mexico who's like massively successful.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing that there's a different bravado of men that are coming in seeking the same thing. I want to be led by a heart-led leader because I want to bring that to my family.
Most people that are, let's just say, leaders, on social media, at least, a lot of these alpha males and people that are, you know, they're preaching, you know, sleep with as many women as you could, make as much money as you could, drink on the weekends. I won't name specific names.
Yeah.
But that's the typical leader that most young men look up to.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that do? Like, what does that do to society? I mean, happening at scale.
What it does is maintain society of... That's how we got here in the first place.
Right.
Because it was run by men like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to even cast judgment. It was run by men like that. And then we force women to come into a man's society like that. And now you got all these women trying to be like that.
Right.
But it's the wrong version of a man.
Yeah.
But we all have masculine and feminine energy inside.
Yeah.
And so I think in this next phase of it's already starting to happen, but the earth is shaking on its axis. And there's going to be an Earth 2.0, just like there's an upgrade season in iPhones. You got like iPhone 6 to 7. I think we're shifting into Earth 2.0. There's going to be a human 2.0.
What does that look like?
I think it's the most harmonized person, the person that's grounded and rooted in nature, and they know how to navigate through life in an effortless way while not losing themselves. Mm. And they're an embodied person. You can't be embodied if you don't grasp the masculine and feminine side of you. That's the only way you can transcend if you're embodied.
Right.
You can't body from half of yourself. So if it's just all alpha and you have no sense of attunement when it comes to the feminine energy, and I can guarantee you, even the way that you would raise your child is going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
So I feel that the embodied human, I call it the harmonized human, H2O. So the harmonized human is going to be the next phase of human. And the people that I work with, I teach them those principles so that they can be that in their work, with their families, with themselves. And they're like, wow, this is what inner peace, having inner peace while still being a badass, while still having my intimacy.
That's major success.
While aging as slow as nature does.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to speed up the process of aging because you're slowly dying from something and masking it with something, your money or your accomplishments and things like that. I know when somebody's masking.
Right.
And if you're escaping, you are suffering.
Do you think that, you know, humans are naturally on that trajectory right now and you can help accelerate it by showing them what that looks like? Or do you think people need to learn this?
Some humans.
Yeah.
There are some humans that are just like, I got to do something different. Yeah. I know I've got to do something different.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
I grew up, you know, in school, it was, you know, the guy that got the most girls was the most validated. And then I had a roommate in college that was the biggest player on campus. I was in a fraternity. I always thought, you know, I'm going to be the bachelor living in a penthouse in New York City. And then, you know, I ended up meeting my wife and now we have a baby, and I've had a few like plant medicine journeys that really just allowed me to learn from a soul level, not from a mind level.
Yeah.
And like now it's like, I'm not just me anymore. I'm one with my family.
Yeah.
And I know that if I have that, then I don't really care about anything else. And that gives me an inner peace that I've never had before.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine living the other way now.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't unsee what you now see, what you're now living.
Yeah, but I don't know if that happened to me, if I got lucky, or, you know, if that's just kind of the way humanity is going, if people are changing. I changed big time in the last 7-8 years.
You got to want to change. You can't just like accidentally change. Like there's got to be somewhere, whether it's conscious or unconscious, where you actually want to do something different. Because if you're not getting the results that you actually want, I guarantee you it's because of something that you're doing, being, saying, acting on. And until you do something different, you're going to get the same results. And everything that you learn new, you're going to try to fit it inside of the only way you know how to look at life. And that's your perspective.
I think this is one of those podcasts that people can listen to over and over again and get more and more out of it.
Kind of
like you ever read a book when you were younger and then read it again when you got older and then read it again when you got older and it had a different meaning to you every time.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we're talking about that you're sharing is really deep and could mean something different to one person and to someone else. So I'm excited for that. I want to dive into a bit more specific things, health related.
Okay.
You know, you're talking about how people can age as slow as nature. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the mental, the spiritual, and the physical side of that. Do you stand behind or utilize any supplements what are your health habits?
So my health habits, first, before I put anything into my body, is saying, like I'm a divine creator. Like my own affirmations towards myself. Mm-hmm. I am healthy. I am love. I am light. Like I say those things because if I don't affirm who I am, I'll get wrapped up in what other people, what I think other people think I am, trying to impress them and doing all these other things. So I've got to keep affirming myself and know it like I know my own name.
Yep.
You know, if I called you Jeffrey, it's not going to hit your spirit the same as I called you your name.
Yeah.
And so the same thing is a certain affirmation that you're telling yourself. And so that encompassed with, you know, supplements that I have, certain vitamins that I take and drinking water, but not water with like fruit drops or anything like that. Just like pure hydrogen water. You know, I love drinking. Well, I mean, I remember I used to drink like soda all the time. Yeah. I wonder why I had skin blotches.
Yeah.
But drinking water, you know,
hydrogen water.
I mean, whether it's hydrogen water or alkaline water, just clean water.
Yeah.
And my wife cooks fresh damn near every single night.
Yep.
And I don't claim to be anything, but when she was cooking only vegetarian, I was eating only vegetarian. When she was cooking only vegan, I was eating only vegan. I just ate what she cooked. Now we have meat in the house and everything, but it's like, you know, like high sourced meat.
Yeah.
And I don't watch what I eat. I eat moderately and I eat proportionately. Mm. And it's a specific timing. Mm-hmm. I don't eat most of the time past 7:30 PM at night.
Yep.
And ultimately eating five times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner with snacking in between lunch, and dinner.
Okay. You eat a lot compared to me. I'll do like two.
Yeah.
Two
I mean, times you gotta think, but it's a source of protein every single time.
Yep.
And if you think of protein like gasoline in a car, mm-hmm. the reason why our body starts like, yo, I'm starving, it's because it's dying of, it's going through a starvation mode. Mm-hmm. Your body is craving something. And when it's not getting what it wants, it craves chips and cookies and all these different things.
Right.
But if you get the right carbs and protein and like complex carbs and the greens, the browns and some meat. And if you don't do meat, if whatever the patty is, getting a source of protein, it's like stopping at the car. I mean, at the gas station.
Yeah.
And filling it up.
Right.
So the every 2 to 3 hours for me is because now I'm actually playing a game called regulating my blood sugar level throughout the day.
So
if my blood sugar level is regulated throughout the day, so is my metabolism.
Okay.
Where people go wrong is they skip breakfast, regardless for whatever reason, even if it's health.
I skip breakfast.
Yeah. And if you do that when you're like 50 and your metabolism drops, over time, the weight comes from you skip breakfast. And then when you eat, you spike your metabolism, let 4 hours go by, you drop your metabolism. And every day around the same time, you get tired and then you keep that behavior. That's where the weight comes from because the overworking of your blood sugar levels.
Gotcha.
But if you can maintain the stability of it, then you can maintain the stability of your metabolism. And that's how you maintain calorie burn at rest as you get older, which also doesn't speed up the process of your body overcompensating for itself.
Yeah.
Because the moment the body starts overcompensating for stress, anxiety, depression, insecurities, resentment, you not forgiving people, that's where the aging comes from because it weighs on your spirit and it starts to sag. Spirit can't hold that weight.
Mm.
I learned that from a 103-year-old.
Wow.
Who's my neighbor in Santa Monica, but she looked like she was in her early 70s. So how come you don't look so old? She said, age doesn't make you old. It's when you let your life beat you down.
Wow.
That's what makes you old.
Wow.
And it was that conversation that really got me into really wanting to dive into spiritual work, letting go of things that I held against people from when I was a little kid, calling people and telling them, yo, listen, I held this resentment. I just want to apologize for holding resentment. I'm going to show you a picture from when I was 34 years old. Right now you're looking at me, I'm 44.
Yep.
I'm going to show you a picture of when I was 34 years old, and we can put this, and you won't even recognize me.
Really?
I'm literally 34 years old.
This is when you were in Santa Monica?
Yep. Right there.
No
look at my,
way.
Look at my eyes. I've had no surgical work done.
Wow.
This is why I know for a fact. When you abide by nature's
That's
laws.
That's wild. That doesn't even look like you.
This is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't
saying.
Even think that was you.
This is what I'm saying. This is when I was holding resentment towards the two men who murdered my father, the person who molested me when I was 13. Like, I let all of that go. And the hot air balloon doesn't leave the ground unless you release the weight.
Mm.
So when you start releasing the weight of your past, you'll be introduced to a whole different aspect of the a universal order that it's wanting to work in your favor.
Yeah, right. I have two questions on that.
Yeah.
I'll ask them both and you can answer them however you'd like to. Number one, how do you identify the traumas that you're holding on to or the emotional baggage that you're holding on to? Because like a lot of times you might just have this feeling of, of like ambient anxiety and you don't really know. Sometimes, you know, you let go and a thought will bubble up and it's like, oh, I just need to like write this email. And it's like, oh, okay, that's all I had to do. But you don't know what's causing it because life is so complex. And number two, how do you actually release those things that you identify?
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, if you want to learn, like, yo, how do you play the guitar? Well, one, you can go on YouTube and look it up, or you can get a guitar coach.
Right.
These aren't things that you just know.
Right.
This is the work that I do. I literally support people in doing this. So, but how I even got to this and really wanting to do root work, I had a root canal.
Yeah.
And my face was the size of Thanos's.
Yeah.
And then I went to the dentist. They said, it's too deep. You got to go see a specialist. And when I went to go see a specialist, they said, whoever originally did your root canal didn't get it all the way to the root. So you have 15 years worth of infection that is showing up on the surface. So they had to saw half my jaw open.
Oh my God.
But while they're doing that, I'm having the biggest epiphany of my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. That's why she broke up with me. Oh, it's because I tried to make her something that happened with my mom when I was 6 years old. It's the same story. So having the awareness that there is something deeper that could be connected to what's showing up on the surface had me then start taking emotional intelligence classes so I can learn and hiring coaches and studying about like where does this come from and being around professionals that are trained. Yep. Like I'm an actual trained person when it comes to trauma release therapy. Mm. Like I understand that at a very great deal, but yeah. I wrap it in dancing and art and music and community and all that other stuff. So it's less dense in your body.
Yeah.
And so one simple thing that somebody could do.
You read my mind. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. And, you know, without going so deep and, oh, it's so scary. Is think of your earliest memory of, you think of something that doesn't feel good. I don't know why this happens. I don't know why I have an issue with saving money. I just always keep spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Earliest memory. Okay, my earliest memory of wanting to save my money. Oh my God. When I was 13 years old, I was saving up my money and I passed the threshold of saving past $100 for the first time in my life. I got it up to like $1,100 because I wanted those new Dodge Neons that came out. And I'm little. Yeah. And I was like, so by the time I'm 16, I'll have this money. All this was in cash in my bottom drawer. And then one day I came home and it was gone.
Mm.
Oh, betrayal. What was the feeling I felt? I felt betrayal, disloyalty. My brother had stole that money and I hated him for it for a long time. I didn't know that the reason why I couldn't keep money in a bank was connected to me never wanting to put my money in something because I feel like somebody's going to steal it. So what would I do? I would change it really fast. Yeah. I would spin it really fast. So just by naming it and being aware and allowing myself to not stuff the emotion.
Feel it.
Feeling. Oh, I fucking hate you, Anthony. Now, I don't even have to tell him. But just allowing myself to process the emotion. And I still love you. And I forgive you. You are the best brother I've ever had. And if it hadn't have been for you, I would have been bullied by those kids. And I forgive you, Anthony. And then you'll start to notice an energy. Just leave your body. Now, nature doesn't take away anything unless it's replaced with something with greater or equal of the equivalent. It's impossible. It's always restorative. So when that energy is released, you'll start noticing, but you got to be what? He's like, yo, I got a client today. Oh, no, that's all part of the universal order. So you understand how energy works. This is another way to put the puzzle pieces together. And I love puzzles.
So when you remove, the universe fills you with something else.
Instantly. And what I would say do is create what you want it to do. I'm creating the possibility for me and my brother to have a fun and loving relationship from here on out with nothing in the way. Because once you pluck a root, plant something else there. Otherwise, the weeds of your past are going to come and overtake the garden, and weeds don't need anything to grow but time. So you have to be a master gardener and know what your weeds are and be willing to pluck them and tend to your garden.
Are there certain traumas and things that happen that are harder to release than others?
Absolutely. But that's why you should be around people who are trained. You know, like me right now, I'm so trained that I know how to do it on myself.
Yeah.
I know how to move my body because it's all energy.
Right.
And so I have a great understanding of how the body works. So sometimes when people are trying to get rid of traumas, and they're like, why are my hands shaking? It's because this part of your body has never felt that energy before. Just let it shake out. And then
I've had something breathe. Like that happen before.
Breathe. Put your feet on the ground. You put your feet on the ground. Okay, sit in the chair. Do you feel the chair? Look to the right. See anything color on the wall? Okay. Look to the left. What do you notice? Okay, look up. Okay, breathe. Out your mouth. Now, if that feels comfortable for you, put your hand on your left hand on your heart, right hand on your belly. Breathe. What are you noticing right now? I feel lighter, but I feel scared. Okay. Just allow yourself to feel that scared. Breathe. I want to invite you to think of one person in your life that just by thinking about them brings a smile upon your face and you feel so good. And all of a sudden you see their physiology change. Okay, now imagine they're here with you right now. Now breathe. What are you noticing? Oh, I feel lighter. So do you feel scared now that they're with you? No, interesting. Okay, when it feels good for you, open your eyes. Okay, so now for the next 5 minutes, what I want to invite you to do is grab your journal. I want you to write every single thing that you feel without editing it. Like write down everything that you feel. And you write it down. When they're done, I'm like, okay, now, what are you noticing right now? I feel lighter. And that's me walking you through a process of somebody that's not here, and you can feel it. I can even see it in your physiology.
I just jumped in the last half of what you're explaining and imagined my son here with me. And I felt the energy kind of moving up into the back of my head.
Right.
powerful.
Yeah. And so when you are working with somebody who's highly trained and understanding that, man, you can work on things that won't transfer to your kid. What would that be worth? You know what I'm saying? Everything. This is the thing.
Yeah.
These type of things, when you don't do anything about it, they transfer right to your kids.
Right.
That's why you say, oh, my substance abuse, and then the kids, substance abuse, and wife beating. You pick the same kind of girl that was just like your mom. And like, listen, adults are deteriorated children. If you're not aware of what you're being controlled by, that's going to translate right into everything that you do.
Yeah. Where would somebody find a practitioner or someone they can work with? Obviously, there's you.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can Google online a trauma specialist, or I'm so much more than that. It's just one leg of like 50 different things that I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can, there's trauma courses, there's trauma classes, breath work, trauma release.
I feel like a lot of men have trouble being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Like uncomfortable to be vulnerable with anyone.
Yeah. Because, boys don't cry.
Right. That's what we're taught.
Yeah. It's 100%. But I'll tell you, the strongest men that I know are the most vulnerable men.
Yeah.
Like what it took for me to go on Facebook and say, you think in 2013, you think you know me? You have no idea. Here's what you know, because that's what I told you. But right now I'm $200,000 in debt. I'm living in my car. I tried to kill myself twice. I've cheated on every girlfriend that I ever had. It was the deepest, darkest moment that I no longer wanted to live in that suffering. First message I got from someone, thank you for your strength. I put the gun down when I read your testimony. And I was like, fifth message, somebody shared with me your testimony. I was on my way to drive my car off a bridge. And that's when I realized the power of vulnerability. I was able to, the vulnerability gives you access to the voiceless or the parts of people that they haven't yet given a voice. So every single day I share my story because there's somebody out there that's saying, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Me too. I can do something different. And so it's
hard to get past that first level though. It's like you have this version of yourself that you're ashamed of. Everyone has something that they don't love about themselves. Yeah. And it's like, you want to hide that from society.
Especially when you're by yourself though. And that's the thing, as men, you try to do it, no, I got it, and they try to take the root care by themselves. Men should not be, I mean, you should have moments where you're by yourself, but you should not for long periods of time, over years, be by yourself, because you'll miss actually living and being able to have accountability and self-reflection.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very important that men have a safe space to be vulnerable and share what's really going on instead of masking it and overcompensating. And I have been in the presence of some extraordinary men that have held me in my deepest wounds. You know, shout out to HOM, and they have held me in my deepest wounds and seen an aspect of me that I've never shared with anybody. And they said, and we still love you. And I'm like, I don't have to do this by myself, God. And that's where most of my growth has come from.
I think that's really powerful. I think that most people don't recognize that. Most people don't realize that that's an important thing. Most people are focused on, you know, the discipline, which is very important. The eating, the health, like that's all very apparent to people. Do people do it? Sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes they later in life. But I don't think this stuff is talked about enough
in
society.
There needs to be more examples who are willing to, but not a lot of people are willing to be vulnerable with their shush parts.
Yeah.
I'll share all the shit.
Yeah. And once you share it, then you've released it and you could share it more and you don't have that same feeling anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting how I never originally did this for money. I was just like, yo, I'm tired of living as a fragment version of myself.
Right.
How I get paid millions of dollars being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then opening up and creating a safe space for someone to say, I've never shared this with anybody in my life. And I can actually hold it.
Well, I believe it's the universe is rewarding you for what you're putting out. It's that balance.
Sure. Yep.
It's a hard, it's very challenging to do that.
Yeah.
And you get back something of equal good for doing that hard thing.
My family gets taken care of and we get to live how we want to live, a life of like unlimited options. And I get to do what, even if I was being paid no money, I would still be doing, because I was doing it while I was homeless.
That's the ultimate success.
While I was living in my car, I was still doing a version of this.
That's the ultimate success. When you can focus on the thing that puts that fire in your heart that you love doing and you could be compensated for it.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate success.
Absolutely.
I would say less than, if I had to put a number on it, like 0.01% of people in society can focus on what they love every day and put their energy
world,
into
that,
it.
This world would shift in one day if that was to happen.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, what a conversation.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got down some really important talking points, and I'm sure that a lot of this stuff is going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are just, they just need that extra little push. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they've been on the border of getting a coach or talking with someone openly, or maybe they understood that discipline was important, but they didn't realize the ripple effect it has in every other area of life. So. Yeah. I'm very thankful for you coming out here, driving out here, taking your time and sharing your message. So thank you very much,
yeah, thank
brother.
You so
really
much,
appreciate
brother.
You.
Yeah.
Is there any, you know, anything that you'd like to share before we wrap up here?
Yeah.
Anything else that we hit a lot?
You know what I invite everybody to get real clear on what your version of success is, not what you think other people think success is. I had a really good friend in the entertainment industry who had all the cars, the girls, the money, put a bullet into his brain, had everything but himself. And that's when I was like, well, maybe I should rethink what my version of success is. And my version of success is maintaining peace, having a calm nervous system, having a life of options. And when I look in the mirror and the truth shows up and nobody's around, I'm really proud of what I see. And before I go to bed at night and I lay my head on the pillow, it's peaceful and it's calm. There's no voices in my head. Oh, what do I got to do tomorrow? It's just calm. And so I'm living the life that I'm really called to live. And I'd love to, and I'm going to be doing more of sharing how to create that for more leaders in the world. You know, I am called to whisper great secrets in the most powerful leaders' ears. I don't need to be the most polarizing person, but I would love to pour into the one to the many. And so if you know that you are looking for something and you can't quite pinpoint it, and there was anything on this call that resonated, you know where to find me, you know where to find Jared. And the greatest way to say thank you is by applying effort on a daily basis and pressing towards the mark. Don't get caught up in the weapons of mass distraction with all this stuff going on in media and society and everything. Stay focused on your family, on your dreams, goals, and desires, and keep pressing towards the mark. And make sure you surround yourself around great, great, great people. And if you ever want to go deeper, find me. I do retreats. I do leadership masterminds. Have a book on Amazon called Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life, working on another book called artist power, rediscovering the lost art of the little self. And yeah, that's it for today.
Quite a closing statement, brother. Thank you very much. I hope you guys enjoyed.
Let's get it.